Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go on this third Sunday of Advent, wherever you happen to be. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're traveling, know that we're grateful to have you tuning in. We will be focusing on the story of Mary as she receives word from the angel Gabriel that she will become mother of the Son of God. And so we're going to reflect a little bit on Mary's story today, and to prepare you for that, we're going to share with you our anthem today from our very own Jenny Dalba, a Christmas favorite, Breath of Heaven.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a baby. If a wiser one should have had my place, but I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong. Help
So as I mentioned, we are observing Mary and reading her story right at the very beginning when she receives word from the angel Gabriel that she will conceive and bear a son, and he will be named Jesus. So we're going to look at Mary's story, and then next week we'll look at Joseph's story so that both of them get their fair due during this time of year. And so this morning, looking in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But Mary was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be called Great, and he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Now, Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.'" Nothing will be impossible with God. "Then Mary said, 'Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.' Then the angel departed from her." Let's pray. Lord God, we may have questions about this ancient text, but it is also a truly beloved story, one that we read every year, and one that continues to inspire faith. So we just pray that your word might speak to us anew this day, and that whatever I communicate might be somehow used for your purposes in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my goal today is really simple. I just want to offer three observations of Mary and allow you to think about how those observations might influence or have an effect on your faith and your walk with the Lord. And so just three observations, that's it. And I want to begin by dealing with the seeming implausibility of the story, right? I mean, how on earth, even if heaven was directly involved, how on earth can a virgin miraculously conceive and bear a child? As we take a moment to observe Mary, I want you to notice that she, at her young age, maybe 14, knew enough biology to ask the same question that has been asked countless times since, and by probably each and every one of us as people of faith. The question is, how can this be? How can this be? We all know enough to know that it is impossible. Truth is, folks like us, we know enough, we're smart enough, we're well-educated enough to consider many things impossible. In fact, we say impossible or will never happen or not a chance with great regularity about any number of things, people, relationships, and situations. I've always found it interesting how the best educated people in the world often have the most doubts, and the least educated in the world tend to have the most faith. The Apostle Paul tried to explain this dynamic when he wrote to the well-educated Christians in Corinth, and he said to them, "Look, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God is interested, apparently, in upending conventional order." See, us smarty pants have real doubts, but a poor, uneducated young girl from Galilee had deep faith. And think about it. Whose story do we remember and share with our children? Ours? No, we have them reenact on Christmas Eve. We have them reenact Mary's story. I mean, to push this question of believability a little further, think about it. What's more unlikely? A virgin birth or a child born under oppressive Roman occupation, who barely survived King Herod's murderous rage in Bethlehem, a child who would grow up to teach and preach so powerfully that that same Roman Empire would choose to execute him in order to silence him, Reports of resurrection followed, and for the next 200 years, Roman emperors would take turns trying to exterminate the fledgling Jesus movement as if it were a spork right there in the Colosseum. Only for one emperor, you may remember, Constantine, to have a dream that would lead to a battlefield victory that would lead to the institution of Christianity as the official religion of the known world, a faith for which the entire empire would be renamed 700 years later. Holy Roman, remember? Led by the church until that version of empire crumbled in 1806. The great empire died. The little child of Bethlehem remained. Now, we may doubt the virgin birth, but, you know, we would have also said that a baby born in Bethlehem conquering an entire empire of Rome, we would have said impossible, right? And yet history testifies to that miracle, and it was a miracle. Mary learned, you see, what we struggle to embrace. For us, yes, many things appear impossible, but nothing will be impossible with God. With God, that's the key. With God, you see, by ourselves, there's plenty of impossibility, there's plenty of limitations. But with God, the estrangement you say will never mend, the person you believe can never change, the circumstances before you that appear impossibly difficult, with God, miracles beyond your and my imagining are possible. Holy children can be born, and oppressive powers can befall, and all sorts of things become possible. Second thing I want you to observe is that Mary understood and accepted that faithfulness is not rewarded with a life of comfort and ease. I mean, I think that's something we really need to learn. Faithful living does not equal a pleasing life. And think about it. Why on earth would any of us assume that faithfulness leads to comfort? It doesn't make any sense. Who has ever, I mean, have you ever participated in an organization that's had to get important, time-sensitive work done? Have you ever played a sport or been on a team where the goal was to win? Have you ever been part of maybe a production in which the most gifted performers get the best parts? Now, think about it. You do not offer your most valuable employee early retirement. No, you give them the most urgent tasks. You don't leave your best player on the bench at crunch time. You put them in the game. Your most gifted performer isn't given a bit part. They are offered the leading role. Does it strike you as odd that after being told that she would become the unwed pregnant mother of a Davidic king who would also be the son of God, does it strike you as odd that Mary only asked questions of the logistics of conception, right? She didn't ask any other questions. She didn't complain or bemoan her circumstances. She didn't petition for a lesser role. Do you know why? Because Mary had faith. Mary was good at faith, right? It was something she was just good at. She was able to believe what others couldn't. And when you're good at something, you want to be put in the game. You welcome the challenge. You understand that great responsibility is a great honor. Now, there's one last observation I want to make about Mary. Did you catch, as I read her final response to Gabriel? She said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord," and then, "Let it be with me according to your word." Does that discourse with the divine sound at all familiar to you? Mary embraced the task before her, even though having a child out of wedlock could not have been her dream and desire for herself. No way. However, her ultimate response was, "Let it be with me according to your word." Does that response sound familiar? I mean, to my ear, it sounds a whole lot like Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember that? I mean, I wonder if mom taught son to pray. Remember, in the garden, Jesus was clear. He didn't want the cross. That wasn't his dream or desire for himself. But you remember his response, right? He said, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me," essentially saying, "I don't want to do this thing." But then he follows up, "But not my will, yours be done." You see, that is a prayer of complete surrender to God and God's desires. And I believe that sacrificial prayer is the most important prayer we can ever offer. It's the moment when human desire and holy destiny begin to intertwine with one another. It was in Gethsemane that Jesus' divinity truly began to shine through. It was in the acceptance of the role offered by Gabriel that Mary's divinity shined through. And I'll tell you, when we are willing to pray, Lord, I know what I want, but I'm ready to do what you want, that divine spark within us shines most brightly. So, what might we do with these few observations about Mary? Well, first, the next time you're tempted to say impossible, never, won't ever happen, or the next time you hear someone else utter words such as those, dare to believe, dare to share your belief that with God, when we choose to engage God instead of solely relying on ourselves, all things become possible. And second, stop assuming faithfulness leads to a life of leisure and ease. Understand that God's needs people of faith. God needs us in desperate circumstances and in difficult relationships to help bring healing and peace and holiness to broken places and broken people in the world. When hardship befalls you, don't think of it as punishment. No, no, no. Think of it as God tapping you on the shoulder and saying, you know what? Time to get in the game. You are needed. This is your moment. And then finally, please know, try to understand, even if you struggle to believe, that the closest you will likely get to God in this life, the time in which you are most likely to shine forth God's presence for all to see, is when you have a truly consequential and difficult decision before you, a decision that's going to affect others. In that moment, you'll know pretty clearly what you'd like your next move to be, but you'll begin to sense that God might have other plans for you, and you'll have to make a decision. And in your moment of decision, or indecision as it may be, you choose to say and pray, I know my desires, Lord, but let it be with me according to your will. Not my will, but your will be done. That's the most important, the most transformational, the most holy prayer any one of us can ever offer. Thy will be done on earth and in my life as it is in heaven. It was the prayer Mary prayed at age 14. It was the prayer Jesus prayed at 33. It's likely the prayer that old Abram and Sarah prayed in their 70s. And it is certainly the prayer Moses offered when he turned 80. You know, we can learn a lot about life and faith and living well by observing those who've gone before us. So today's Mary's Day. Next Sunday evening, it's Mary's night. So let's truly observe so that we might fully live and wholly serve. Let's pray. Lord God, help this story to get into our spirit. Help us to trust that all things are possible with you. Help us to realize that the adversity we experience in our life is just the part of being in the place you need us to be, doing the work you want us to be doing. Lord God, help us. Help us to just really understand fully that when we offer ourselves to you, when we surrender, that's when we become most valuable to you, that's when our lives are transformed, and that's when your light shines through us best. We pray that you would help facilitate all of that in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, church family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org. or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.